This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I'm the fly on the wall, kind of sitting back and listening to this because I've certainly listened to stories about ghosts, ghost phenomena, all these other things going on, things that go bump in the night. Doesn't happen to me. I had those recurring nightmares when I was a kid, which I won't repeat again. Let's continue with Morgan.
You know, it's not often that we get physical violence necessarily in cases, but physical manifestations and of you know, the movement of objects and things like that is quite common. Interacting with people, and it's not always a negative thing. Like oftentimes you'll get a case where, you know, somebody's grieving, for example, you know, is missing somebody, and then all of a sudden, you know, they feel that person touch their shoulder, or, you know, wake them up in the night or something like that. And so it doesn't always have to be a negative thing, but, you know, in this case, it was pretty severe. But it's not an unfortunate.
What does that say, though, I guess, about this, because we're not talking about, in that case, someone in an afterlife. We're talking about some sort of phenomena that seems to be conjured up out of the psychology of the parent. And why would that want to cause any harm to the child? I mean, what does that say about the psychology of the parent if that's what's going on and it's that powerful? I mean, I'd have some real concerns there. You know, I might want to call child services. But
there always is those kind of concerns, right? There's always things you have to look at. And it's one of the reasons why when you get into, you know, paranormal research, and especially if you're dealing with clients, that, you know, you can't really be a hobbyist about this stuff. And you get a lot of these groups that just, you know, they're with their buddies and they, you know, they want to go for a scare for a night or something like that. And you can't do that. It's really, when you're dealing with people, there's so many layers to something like this, where you've got to be paying attention. You've got to have, for example, like often we'll have a registered nurse with us or something like that. Because, for example, if we've got somebody who's on, you know, three or four medications and this has happened, I mean, I don't know what those interactions for those medications are. I have no idea. But if I've got somebody there that can turn around and say, holy crap, this person's on four medications, it shouldn't be together, we can start to send them back to their doctor and go, you need to fix this. It can get really complicated, especially in cases where, you know, you've got somebody who might have, you know, a genuine mental illness, or, you know, there's things going on in the house that, you know, might not be so good. It might require a call to CPS or something like that. You've got to be prepared for that.
That's very interesting. Do you have a network of people that can help you? You mentioned a registered nurse. Do you have any psychologists or doctors or other people?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Everything from, we've had architects, engineers, you know, all sorts of people in different fields, as say professional audio video people that can, you know, look at anything, any evidence or anything like that that comes back. We work with a professional audio video company called Catalyst Productions, and they're brilliant at what they do. So, I mean, yeah, we have to be able to turn around and reach out to people that know more than we do, because we just can't know everything. So you've got to have that network.
Something else that you are into is something called the art of ghost hunting. Can you tell us what makes ghost hunting an art to you?
Oh, yeah. So the art of ghost hunting, it's actually a walk-in classroom that I do. And it's really neat because it can go all over the place. My next ones are going to be in Vancouver in April. And basically what I do is I take a group of people around an area of the city, and I can teach them the principles of things like parapsychology and, you know, what people would think of as ghost hunting, and start to dispel some of the myths, but also give them some incredible stories as to what can happen and show them some of the techniques that go into some of this stuff. Because it really is an art about mind, body awareness, you know, understanding the tools that you need to use in terms of, you know, understanding your environment, electromagnetics, you know, all sorts of things that can create a haunting that, you know, isn't a haunting. and about using your own instincts and intuition to sort of discern some of the things that might be going on in a space. So it's an art in terms of all of the different elements that you kind of bring into it and the energy in which you bring to the space with you. And that's what we try to do, the art of ghost hunting. And it's a fun class.
That does sound like something that people who are into the paranormal would really enjoy. And I'm curious, I don't know that if it can be explained if at all, but the art side of it seems to involve this idea of the intuition that you were talking about and an awareness of, for lack of a better term, we hear the term like vibrations or the aura of the room or the space. What is that? Can you describe to us what it is you're talking about there?
Yeah, intuition is interesting because we are probably one of the only species on the planet that can walk into a dangerous situation and we know it's dangerous intuitively, and then we turn around and completely talk ourselves into it anyway. Because we don't want to be rude or think we're being silly or whatever it is. We think we're going to be, you know, we're going to be the brave person or whatever. And we're really one of the only animals that does this. You know, I mean, there'd be a lot of dead gazelle if all the gazelle just ignored the fact that they think there might be a lion out there. And it's interesting because getting people to reconnect with that stillness, that part of their psyche and their brain and their body that can just turn off the thought for a little bit and just be still. What is it that the environment is telling us? What is it that our heart's telling us about the environment? And being able to just tune into that a little bit and listen instead of, you know, talking and trying to think things out. And thinking is a tool, just like, you know, any of the equipment that we're using, but there's also a time and a place and a space to use a different type of language. And that language is very energetic.
Okay. I think I get where you're coming from because I guess what you called sort of mainly I'm left brain, you know, I'm very analytical. So something can happen to me where I think something strange has happened. And this has happened to me. In fact, I lost my brother in a car accident and I inherited his computer and I didn't know much about computers, but I thought, well, you know, I might as well put this thing to use. Maybe there's some information on it when I was looking after his estate and so on. And I was using it and I was all alone and it was all quiet. And all of a sudden a window popped up and it said message from Dan, and that's my brother. And I looked at it and I got all of those feelings, the hair stood up. I thought, oh my God, I've had paranormal experiences in the past. I got all those same feelings. And then I learned how Microsoft Outlook works and how you can set messages to pop up, right? So, and he had done that and I had just turned on the machine and it had just gone ahead and done that. So while intuition is really good and that those gut feelings can be really good, I think we also have to temper it with some analytical thinking as well.
Well, exactly. And that's why I was saying that thinking is a tool that we have to be able to use. There was a fantastic book written by a fellow by the name of Gavin De Becker called The Gift of Fear. And it's an amazing book. He works a lot with police agencies, the FBI and people like that to basically sort of profile people who will eventually probably do harm. Say, for example, someone who, you know, might prove a physical danger or who might set a bomb or something like that. And he's worked out this incredible system called the Mosaic System, which is kind of this trait predictability. But he wrote this incredible book. And one of the stories that he wrote about in it was a woman who she had kept coming home every night from work to, you know, a new apartment. You know, everything was great. It was, you know, she was really enjoying it months. And then she would come home every once in a while and feel really uncomfortable in the space. And she couldn't put her finger on it. There was nothing wrong with the house or the apartment. And she'd go to bed at night and whatever, but she'd lock her door and something wasn't right. And the next day she'd come home, it was the same thing. And this went on for the longest time. And it got to the point where she thought, you know what? I've got to do something different.
Let's do something different. Morgan, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Morgan Knutson, what different thing did she do?
So she came home and she decided that she was going to put a nanny cam in her apartment, facing her front door. And this decision was made after coming home one afternoon and finding a parcel on her balcony, which made no sense because there was nobody there to bring the parcel in. It was just sitting on her balcony. It was addressed to her. It was a package she had ordered, but there was no way this thing should have been sitting on the balcony. So she puts this nanny cam in, and she ends up discovering that some guy in the building somewhere was coming into her apartment when she left for work, trying on her underwear and leaving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, we've heard stories like that before. That happens a lot, apparently. I've heard numerous ones where they don't do much. They just do these little weird things like you just described, or that, you know, they'll take a couple of cans of food or a couple of rolls of toilet paper or something, and then they just leave. And people think it's weird, but they don't think anything of it until they catch them on film like that.
And she had no other sign. The only thing that happened visibly to her was this package that showed up. But the feelings that she was getting were, you know, were happening weeks prior to this package changing position. So it was very interesting, but it was just on one of those incidents where, you know, had she not had the intuition to sort of follow up on that, you know, this guy probably would still be breaking into her apartment and trying on her clothes. But it's one of those things, you know. We have to make a decision, I think, as to, you know, at what point do we listen and pay attention and, or, you know, ignore it and rationalize it. So it's a balance.
Well, every once in a while, this is one of my confessions. I'm probably what you would describe as a neo-pagan. When I decide to let my left brain just go and do just like what you say, something does open up. You'll catch me outside in the summertime around a fire pit, especially around a full moon, and I'll be doing some sort of a quiet ritual. I know that sounds weird to the people who know me, but I think I can open up to you here, Morgan, and say it does change something. Something happens. You get results, and I don't know how to explain it with my left brain. I just know that when I set it aside and I open myself up to the universe in that way, something happens. And I don't know how to describe it, but it's real.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a neat thing to be able to leverage. I think so many people, you know, they like to poo-poo it and they like to turn around and brush it aside, but there's something that's so important about that. And when we're in a situation or in a culture, especially right now, where there's this bombardment of information that's coming at us, and some of it is awful and upsetting and terrible. And, you know, we have to be able to at least take the time for ourselves, take a step out of it and recenter and be able to, you know, to turn off that thinking part, because sometimes we can end up overthinking our way into problems as well. So having the ability to sort of take a step back and do whatever it is that make you feel good, whether it be, like you were saying, sitting by a fire. Like for me, it's meditation.
Breathing fire.
Exactly.
And yeah, so do you still have your snake?
Oh, I do. He is.
How old is he now?
He is 15 and a half now.
How long do they live?
He will live into his 50s.
Wow, so that's a long-term commitment.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad too. He's turning 16 in June, and he's so amazing. And he just is Zen. He is really the embodiment of Zen. He's just so calm, and you can't really shake him. He's just so level, and he's so quick that if I'm in a bad mood or I'm upset or anything like that, he's so quick to center me. And because he's plugged in, you know, he's tapped into whatever this is. And yeah, it's nice to be able to spend time with him, because he's brilliant. He's incredibly smart. Yeah, he's very grounding, which is great.
So you say you're heading up to Vancouver this springtime to do this art of ghost hunting. And will you be doing other lectures as well while you're out there, or attending any conferences, that sort of thing? What else have you got on the agenda for people to be able to come and interact with you and tell us a little bit more about what to expect, what it costs, and how they can get involved?
Definitely. Well, the Art of Ghost Hunting, which is the walk-in classroom, I'm going to be doing for two nights, April 17th and 18th in Vancouver. We're starting in Gastown, so that'll be fun. And, it's $30 per ticket to attend it. But the spaces are really limited because I like to try to keep the groups somewhat small so that people don't feel like, you know, they're missing things and they're not being able to hear and stuff like that. So I'm expecting that they'll probably sell out pretty quick. They usually do in Edmonton. But I just came back actually from Vancouver about a week or so ago, because I did Vancouver Comic Expo there, and I presented a presentation called Ritual, Exorcism in Film and Television. And it was such a fantastic experience. It was so much fun. The theater was packed, which was great. And it was just a blast to sort of delve into the history and the uniqueness of the idea of exorcism and how it plays out in pop culture. So that was a really fun experience. But The Art of Ghost Hunting is the two big shows that are going to be coming up soon.
That's really interesting. And so it sounds like you were pretty well received then, in that this is like a Comic-Con, you were saying, type of thing?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like the Comic-Con. It's called the Vancouver Fan Expo, and Fan Expo does Toronto, and they do Edmonton, Calgary, and whatnot. And I did the Edmonton, Calgary ones for the last couple of years, and they've been just so much fun, and I do a different topic every year. And this was my second presentation of Ritual. And I'm hoping to do Calgary this coming April as well. But it is just an absolutely fun environment to be in. There's so many unique people, and there's such a theatrical aspect to it too, where you've got, you know, all these people dressing up, and it's so much fun to do.
I think that's really interesting because me being in ufology, I have tried to attend a couple of those, and I had a table at one, and I got nothing but flack from people who were accusing me of not being able to tell reality from fiction. And it's so, you know, that you're able to set up and do that where, you know, you believe that this stuff is real, I assume. I don't think you're in it just trying to promote fantasy. So, you know, why are they letting you off the hook, but they're giving me such a hard time?
That's a good question. I think part of it is my approach to it, because the way I come at it with them is I'm presenting it often from a very factual standpoint. Like with Ritual, I'm talking about it from the first part is the historical side of it, which is, you know, how exorcism has played out throughout history. So you know, during the Paleolithic and the Mesopotamia eras and things like that.
And then we'll go back to the history. And we'll break right now, though. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The number of coronavirus cases continues to rise in the United States, along with the people that have died. Washington State is reporting two more fatalities on Saturday, bringing the death toll to 19 nationwide. Health officials in Florida confirmed two deaths late Friday, with nearly 400 cases now reported in the United States. All that being said, Dr. Drew Pinsky tells Fox News, we do just need to calm down.
the panic is far worse than the virus. Let the professionals whose job it is to contain pandemic do their job. They're doing an amazing job. Worldwide, the efforts and the effect of the organizations like the CDC and the WHO has been remarkable.
Former Vice President Joe Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders are busy campaigning this weekend as hundreds of delegates are on the line in Tuesday's primary elections. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so we're getting a history lesson from Morgan. Please continue.
Yeah, so I start the presentation with a bit of the backstory and a bit of the history, and then I start to talk about the different films that have then brought it into the public fascination now. So, you know, iconic films like The Exorcist, The Conjuring, and movies like that. So they start to get to a place where they can at least start to question and ask questions about the films. So I think it's less a judgment of, you know, exorcism is, you know, yes, this is real, or, you know, I don't have necessarily that conviction about it, but it's more presenting it in a way where it's accessible to people. They understand where the true stories come from in the movies, because those three movies specifically were based off of true accounts, and just leaving it up to the audience to decide what they want to. But at least then they can walk away understanding things about the film, why it was made, and where it came from.
Oh, that sounds like a really good approach. That would be coming at it from sort of an entertainment perspective. So maybe if ufologists, I mean, I'm not the only one who's experienced this either, apparently, but maybe if they were to set up and come at it from a, well, you know, this is the way that Close Encounters happened, or Dark Skies, something like that. Not long ago, we had Bryce Zabel on, who is, of course, deep into that, and he's very well received. So, yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I mean, if I ever do another one, I think that's the way I'll go, because just putting out books on by people who have been witnesses and videos by people like ghost hunters or whatever doesn't seem to catch their attention. You know, the Trekkies will come by in their Trekkie outfits and they just laugh, basically, and keep on going.
And I think too, because in that climate, you're dealing with all fiction. You like Star Trek or Star Wars and things like that. So you're already dealing with people that have labeled those things as fiction. So that might be a part of it as well. And I think the way the way I'm trying to approach it with the cons is, you know, at least giving people some insight as to, you know, whether they agree with it or not, or whether they agree with the story or not, is really becomes besides the point. It's just about learning, like, okay, you know, there was a case that happened in Maryland and in St. Louis with a young boy who the Jesuits and the and whatnot claimed was possessed. And there's a story there. You know, there's a very real, there's a life, there's a story, there's a, you know, documentation, there's fascinating writings, there's all of these different things that, of course, with the Exorcist movie, for example, you don't get to see because we're watching a movie. But there's so much more behind it. So I think whether or not you're a film buff, you're a horror buff, or you like the behind the scenes stuff, you know, whatever that is, it's a fascination. And the topic in and of itself for me, is of course very interesting because nobody really talks about that type of a thing. I had, the first time I did Ritual, I had, two Jesuit priests actually in my audience, that came up to me afterwards and they said, "You've got more research done on this than we do."
I wanted to bring something back up because you were talking about going to a Comic-Con. You see, one of the problems we have, especially in the UFO field, we want to have a conference, a convention, whatever, and the attendance is barely in the hundreds, sometimes a few thousand. I guess the contact in the desert gets a larger crew of people. But you look at Comic-Con, it's 150,000 in this country, and you wonder if you set up a booth, whether it's UFOs, general ghost information, anything like that, whether it would have any meaning. But as you say, that people who are going there are looking for fictional stuff. They're looking for comic book stuff, superheroes, Star Wars, things like that. They're not necessarily looking for these crazy people with stuff that's supposed to be real.
And UFOs, too, I think is it's such a diverse subject, you know, where people will either think, yes, this is real, and yes, this happens, or they will turn around and say, oh no, all these people are you know, crazy, and they all have their tinfoil hats. So it's a diverse range of opinions, I think, where I know with the, you know, ghost phenomenon, for example, 75% of people have claimed that they have anomalous experiences. So I think, and I don't know what those statistics are in terms of UFO sightings and stuff like that, but you know, it just might be something where they need an angle that, you know, maybe is a little bit less definite and gives them a little bit more leeway just to learn about it instead of, you know, having to go in with a belief that it's real.
One of the things that we've talked about with other paranormal researchers is that there's a direct correlation between haunted places and reports of hauntings and UFO reports. And last time we had you on the show, we brought that up as well. And it was something that you said you'd sort of keep in mind maybe with when you were talking to people. I'm wondering if you've done that or if you've, should I even ask?
Well, it's because I find it really interesting. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where there seems to be this overarching idea that, you know, all paranormal phenomenon is. You know, it's sort of coming from the same place kind of thing. And, you know, I think there's, I don't know how much of there is a correlation in terms of, you know, haunted places and, or at least ones I've investigated and UFO phenomenon. I've not run into that, but my, you know, it's definitely not unheard of. Like the orb phenomenon, for instance, where people are seeing these bright balls of light and things like that, you know, we'll often, you know, see that and then hear about a UFO sighting, you know, later on, but you know, there's still just as much of a correlation of, you know, these orbs showing up and them not being related to a UFO sighting. But when we start to get into things like First Nations folklore, for example, that becomes an issue again because people are seeing things like, say for example, dogmen and stuff like that. People will report that, and then they'll report, you know, UFO sightings and stuff like that in the area. So, you know, the big question becomes, is it related?
Exactly. And I think it would be really great if the people who are investigating the various phenomena could be more unified with respect to their approach. Like, If the ghost hunters are out there and they're interviewing people, they might think to ask, well, have you ever had a UFO experience? And when you think about it, some of the abduction experiences are very similar to the types of experiences people have with hauntings. And so, and you've got similar phenomena like anti-gravity, like things levitating, things moving, invisibility. So, I mean, if there is a connection there, if we could all work together in a little more harmony, I think it might produce something that we haven't all considered independently.
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, it comes back to that idea of, you know, being able to put down the paradigm of, you know, trying to fit things into certain boxes. You know, is because as soon as we start to fit things into boxes, then as they, we start cutting out, different bits and pieces that end up, you know, that may be related. So I think that's a good example of it.
No doubt. Yeah. That you really expressed that really well, where what you just said there, where when it doesn't fit into our paradigm, we just arbitrarily, you know, cut that part out and don't include it. Because we want to build this picture of what we think is going on more sometimes than just trying to find out what is going on.
Yeah, well, it makes things, I think it makes things more tangible for people. And when we get into a field like this with the paranormal and, you know, things that are, you know, a little bit more quantum and whatnot, some people struggle to get their brain around how do I make this fit into my worldview so that I can make sense of it. Our brain wants to make sense of stuff. And it's hard when we don't necessarily have all of the options or have all of the avenues of information available to us because we simply don't know yet.
You know what? I always wonder, I want to get into that when we get to the final segment with Morgan Knudsen about an end game, or is there ever going to be an end game with Gene Randall and Morgan? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNlife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Morgan, that brings us to one other thing, which is every time we talk about this, we have ongoing investigations, and we check out the ghosts and the UFOs and all this stuff. But is this going to be a forever thing? We're always going to be ghost hunters or UFO hunters. Is there ever going to be a time when we have real answers?
You know, it depends. I think it depends on what we consider answers. Because at the end of the day, I think our world is expansive enough that I don't think we're ever going to stop learning about it per se. You know, I think our understanding is going to grow. I think it's going to grow considerably even over the last 2 to 3 years in the parapsychological fields. There's definitely going to, we're going to see an escalation in information and an expansion in that. But I mean, I think the day we quit learning is probably the day we're dead. So I don't know if there's necessarily an end game. And the end game is personal too, right? So, what is it that people want out of their experience? Yeah, I think that's going to be different for everybody.
Well, with UFOs especially. If it's spaceships, well, we confirm that ET is here in one or more forms. When it comes to ghosts, I don't know. There's no real way to determine that these represent something in the afterlife, because obviously we know what you have to do to prove it. So it's something that there can be no relationship unless it's caused by something else that could be proved. So there, you're dealing with a subjective thing as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think when we're dealing with anything that's subjective like that, it's kind of a conundrum, because it's like we just end up with more questions. You know, we just answer one question, then it opens up Pandora's box of a whole bunch more. So again, it depends on what the end game is. You know, do I think that we'll eventually be able to prove something like, you know, remote viewing or something like that? Probably. But, you know, are we going to at the same time explain, you know, is there life after death? No, that's going to be a different set of questions. So I mean, I think the field is just so vast. I mean, we're going to be answering questions, I hope, anyway, for a really long time.
That's an interesting point that you made there. And this takes us right back to sort of the beginning where, you know, I was saying, okay, well, we can have ideas and we can have theories, but there's a hierarchy of reasonableness for why something could or could not be the case. When it comes to afterlives, like I had said at the beginning, I don't believe it's possible. And there are, well, what I would say, very objective reasons for that. And so when something comes to possibility, that's an entirely different thing than saying, well, you know, we just need more data and then we could prove it one way or the other. If it's just not possible, then no amount of data is going to make any difference. But people are so very invested in a specific belief that, say, if they believe afterlives happen and that's what they're experiencing, there's nothing you can do to change their minds.
I think that depends on the person. I think if you're rooted in a belief to that degree that you're not open to a possibility, I think that in and of itself is unhealthy. Like if you can't turn around and say, at least, is it possible? Then I think that to me doesn't make any sense, because we simply have so much data on sort of on both sides of the fence right now that I don't think we're in a position to turn around and draw a conclusion yet about any of that. But I think it really does, again, come down to when is enough data. Well, I think that's going to be, I guess, up to the individual in a way, you know, I mean, sort of is the world flat or is the world round kind of thing. And it's like, well, to me, there's more than enough data to suggest the world is round. But again, it's like, you know, with something like the afterlife, for instance, you know, we don't have that solid data yet. It's just not there. And we've got, you know, evidence pointing to the contrary. So, you know, we got to take a look at it and keep examining it.
Right. See, like right there, that's where what I had just said before completely just, if I never said it, it's like, I believe we have to have an open mind for the possibility. I've said I'm a believer in strange phenomena. I've experienced it myself. I've also said I don't believe afterlives are possible and that there's objective reasons for that, that anyone can work out for themselves. So when a person says, okay, let's look at it. Is it possible? Well, if we answer that question with, well, no, it's not, no matter how much we would like to believe it, shouldn't we be accepting that it's not possible and then looking for other answers, saying, okay, if that's not the answer, then what is causing the phenomena? If we're stuck in just going, oh no, it's an afterlife, it's like, this is my dead grandma and nobody's going to convince me otherwise, then we could be missing what the actual cause is, especially if we have really good reasons to believe that it can't be your dead grandmother. It's not possible.
And then the thing is, again, it comes back to that whole idea of, you know, getting rooted in the idea that it's one thing and not something else, you know, that we've been talking about, which is, you know, at the end of the day, we have to be able to be open to the idea that maybe the thing that's actually causing that phenomenon is more cool than even our perceived perception that maybe it's, you know, an afterlife or something like that. The actual answer might even be more cool than that.
That's what I think. Personally, I know I shouldn't be injecting my own points of view here, but I'm not a passive interviewer. I tend to be fairly active and like to stir up trouble a little bit. So
let me interrupt. I like to let Randall just, you know, hang himself without my help. That's all. No,
yeah. I'm good at doing that too sometimes. But then again, like back to the beginning of the show, like when I can be proven wrong, I'm going like, wow, yay, I just learned something new. So it's really cool that way. But what you said, Morgan, is so important, because I think that whatever it is more cool than the idea of afterlives. If there's something going on, I think there's some sort of phenomena that is possible. I think that afterlives, in another way of looking at it, like you say, it's so important in the way that we look at it, is possible, that it's not like a continuity of the actual personhood that carries on, if that's at all what is happening. So the best it can be from every way I've worked it out is it's got to be some kind of copy.
Well, and, you know, and that theory's out there, and there's a bunch of them out there, you know, that say, for example, that, as I say, that consciousness is something that is fundamental in the environment, and that we can, you know, that our consciousness is somehow returning to a larger fold or a larger black hole, or, you know, there's so many theories on it. And I don't think anybody's got a bead really on what it is. All we can do is, from our human perspective, is to examine the phenomenon, document it as best we can, and do our best to research and study it. And right now that's just all we can do. And it's got to be enough.
Well, there is the other thing we can do, and that's, we can go, okay, well, we might not know what it is, but we can determine what it's not. I think I've actually done that, and so far I haven't figured out any way around it. I mean, I might be wrong. I just don't think so at this point. I'm open to being wrong, as you know, I think I've got that part figured out, and I think it could really move the whole investigation forward if we could go, okay, well, we can eliminate that possibility now and focus on ones that are possible.
Morgan, tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
You can find me at entityseeker.ca, and of course I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. And you can find tickets and whatnot to The Art of Ghost Hunting in Vancouver on eventbrite.ca or entityseeker.ca, of course, has the link as well. So lots of areas to find me, but entityseeker.ca is the go-to.
Our go-to includes several places. At Twitter, theparacast.com. On Facebook, well, there's a couple of Paracast watering holes there, too. We also have a place where you can buy branded merchandise with four different Paracast logos, including some designed by our friend here, J. Randall Murphy. For more details to visit the store, go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. We also have the Paracast Plus, where we give you a special version of this show, free of the network ads with enhanced audio, the fabulous F the Paracast podcast with so many different things, special interviews. You don't want to miss it. Prices start at just $1.50 U.S. per week or $5 a month, that sort of thing. For more information, go to theparacast.plus. Theparacast.plus. Morgan Knutson, always glad to just sit back, enjoy, and listen to what you have to say. Thanks for returning to the Paracast.
Thank you guys so much. I just love being on your show. Your questions are great, and our conversation is obviously really good. So it's always a pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.